Good morning. We press the pause button this morning in our look at the life of Joshua. For the last 4 weeks, those who attend regularly will know that we've been working our way through the life of Joshua. So we press the pause button for the next 2 weeks to look at how we can improve our prayer life. So here's today's question. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Hardly any question can cause more chin-dropping, foot-shuffling embarrassment for Christians than asking about their prayer life. Why is that? Why do so many followers of Jesus suffer with such unsatisfying prayer lives and sometimes consider themselves hopelessly second-rate Christians because of it? In his book, The Secret of Guidance, the late F.B. Mayer wrote this: "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, it is unoffered prayer. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, it is unoffered prayer." And Mayer goes on to say, instead of prayer being something we do every day, like breathing, eating, walking and talking, it seems to have become like that little glass-covered box on the wall that says, break in case of emergency. And it's true that so often we associate prayer with crisis in our life. I think all of us who truly desire to follow the Lord know in our hearts that we can do much better than we do when it comes to this matter of praying. And I also believe that everyone who truly desires to follow the Lord desires to grow in his or her prayer life. Henry Blackaby writes this: "It was common knowledge among the disciples that they would find Jesus praying during the early morning hours. When they needed him, they knew to go to the place of prayer. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he led his cohorts to Jesus' place of prayer. And every time the Lord Jesus faced an important decision, he prayed. When he was being tempted to do the things by the world's methods instead of his Father's, he prayed. When it was time to choose his disciples, he prayed the entire night. So if the Son of God requires a night of prayer in order to determine the Father's mind, how long might it take us in prayer to clearly determine our Father's will? And because Jesus was so often surrounded by crowds, he knew he must find a quiet place so he could clearly hear his Father's voice. Jesus had many, many people seeking to influence the direction of his life. His disciples wanted him to go to where the crowds were. The crowds wanted to make him king. Satan tempted him to compromise in order to draw a following. But Jesus knew that his mission was not to attract a crowd, but to remain obedient to his Father. And so it was prayer that set the agenda for Jesus' ministry. It was prayer that set the agenda for Jesus' ministry. Prayer preceded the miracles. Prayer brought him encouragement at critical moments. Prayer enabled him to go to the cross. Prayer kept him there despite excruciating pain. So if we want to follow Jesus' example, the challenge is to let your time alone in God, with God, in prayer, set the agenda for your life. Now, you can read every book on prayer. Graham's already given you a free recommendation. And you can even attend seminars in prayer. But I would like to suggest to you this morning that the best way to learn about prayer is to simply start praying, or to pray more. And over the next couple of weeks, I'd like us to consider four ways that you and I can improve our prayer life. We're going to cover two this morning and two next Sunday. So the first is this: pray constantly. Or as we read, pray continually. The New Living Translation translates it, I love it, keep on praying. Not keep on trucking. Keep on praying. The Phillips translation says, never stop praying. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing, or to pray continually? Well, first, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we have to walk around with our head bowed and our eyes closed all day long. And nor does it mean to be down on your knees 24/7. Nor does it mean to have your lips constantly moving in utterance of prayer. To pray continually has more to do with an attitude than it does an activity. It's more to do with an attitude rather than an activity. When you and I pray continually, it means we have a keen awareness of God's presence in our life every moment of every day, and that the line of communication with God is always open, day or night, to bring any matter, any need, or any situation before him, regardless of where you are or of what you're doing. Now, the two verses either side of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 is this. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 says, rejoice always. We always have something to rejoice about, don't we? Even in the midst of our most difficult trials, we can always find something to rejoice about. And if we look at the verse on the other side of verse 17, it says this, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we can always find something to be thankful about. So if we can always find something to rejoice about, and we can always find something to be thankful for, then we can be in this kind of constant attitude of prayer. we can pray without ceasing. Lawrence Richards explains it this way: unceasing prayer speaks more of a reverential attitude of the one praying than of the length of the prayers. Unceasing prayer is not restricted to a set time, place, or position. The believer is not in a right place with God's Spirit if he cannot pray any time, anywhere. In short, Paul's injunction means that we are to be constantly conscious of our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. It refers, however, to the attitude of prayer or reverence before God. The Christian's life and his or her approach to relationships and responsibilities should be such that they maintain a constant attitude of being in God's presence. Such a person will pray often and about many things, including requests, praise, and thanksgiving. So one thing you and I can do to improve our prayer life is to pray constantly, or be in a constant attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. The second thing we can do to improve our prayer life is to pray regularly. Jesus himself set the example for us in this matter of praying regularly. Luke tells us Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And I think that tells us that Jesus had that kind of regular time and place to pray. Listen to what Jesus actually said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, that's us, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice that he didn't say, but you, if you pray. He said, but you, when you pray. When you have that regular time of prayer each day. In my experience, one of the most common excuses Christians use when it comes to having a regular time of prayer is, I'm just too busy. Or, I just don't have the time. If that is your excuse for not having a regular time of prayer, let me share something with you that you may not know. Do you realise that everything we read about Jesus in the Gospels covers just 52 days of his earthly life? All those miracles, all those teachings, all those days of travelling covers just 52 days of his life. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. Firstly, it tells me that Jesus was an extremely busy man. And secondly, it tells me that even though he lived a very, very busy life, he always, always set aside that regular time to spend in prayer every day. And the point is this: if Jesus can do it, then surely we can. Or perhaps more importantly, we should. You know, if you and I only pray when we feel like it, or when we're in the mood, or whenever there's a crisis, or whenever we're not busy, I want to say to you this morning, your prayer life will never improve. Here are two things for you to do that will help you to pray regularly. Firstly, make prayer a top priority each day. That means that you and I need to set aside a specific time each day and every day that we will devote to prayer. Make a commitment. Put it in your diary. Make an appointment time with God each and every day. And also, treat that appointment as your top priority. And secondly, say no to interruptions. Say no to interruptions. One thing you can be assured of is that Satan is going to do everything in his power to disrupt your prayer time. Maybe a phone call, maybe a text message, sound of the television, car going past, or the urgent call of duties and responsibilities you have for that day. I love the quote that I discovered from John Piper, who said this, and I hope you can identify with this. One of the greatest uses of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram will be to prove at the last day that our prayerlessness was not from the lack of time. Do you connect with that? The truth is, every one of us makes time for the things that we really want to do. And if you and I want to improve our prayer life, we must make time for prayer in our daily lives on a regular basis. I want to finish this morning by sharing with you a personal experience. A very good number of years ago, I was going through quite a difficult time at work. I'd been given a job that was completely out with my skill set. And I fell into the mode of breaking the emergency glass box in the wall and crying out to God. And as I shared my situation with a trusted friend, he asked me if I had a regular time each day with God. I think he already knew the answer, to be honest, when he asked me that question. So he encouraged me to set aside a time each day to talk to God. And I started reading the Psalms, and I would get up very early each morning while the family were still asleep, and I'd start talking to God. And one morning, as I sat in our lounge, I had this overwhelming experience of God's presence. It was extraordinary. It was supernatural. I was not hallucinating. I was not imagining it. And I tell you, I will never forget it. I went into work after that, and as I was walking to my office and saying good morning to people, I noticed a quizzical look in their faces. And when I reached my office, a member of my team came in and said to me, "Are you all right?" I said, "I'm feeling fine. Actually, I'm feeling pretty good, actually." He said, "Well, you look different this morning. Your face is almost glowing." And I smiled. And I told him what had happened. Praying regularly and connecting with God can have a transformative effect on your life, even physically. If you don't pray regularly, give it a try. It could change your life. So this morning, two things to remember. Pray constantly. Have that attitude of prayer. And secondly, pray regularly. And I think you'll find, if you adopt these two things, your prayer life will start to improve. Amen.
We're going to close by singing, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea."